This is the homily for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2025, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the Book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 8 to 13. The second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14 to chapter 4, verse 2. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. The homilist was Father Philip Simo.
When St. Paul says that you were raised from infancy on the scriptures, and it, you know, inspires you, and it helps you, and it gets you get to know God. There was no New Testament yet. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's writing scripture. He doesn't know that yet. But in fact, there were no gospels. And so he's talking about everything that they came to know through what God said in the Old Testament. We have this widow today, and of course, as you know, the widows back then in the ancient world, in the time of Jesus, once the husband would die, it was very difficult for them. First of all, women didn't have rights, and they had to depend on their husband for everything. And if you were a widow and you had no children to take care of you, you had to depend on neighbors and stuff to do it, because you wouldn't be able to survive. So the widow is a poor person back then. You remember how happy you were? I'm thinking most of you were probably happy when we heard that an American was elected Pope. What a time, what a day. It was like, what? Even the CNN anchor, who this lady I like, this one anchor, she was there at the Vatican, and she started to cry. You know, and you never see the anchors cry. But she started to cry when she finally realized it's an American Pope. So Pope Leo, the American Pope, and the newspapers were wonderful. The New York Times, an American Pope, that was the headline, with a picture of him standing on the balcony. I saved it. I love the newspapers. I like all newspapers. We get the New York Times and the Post. We used to get the Wall Street Journal. We don't anymore, but I love the newspapers. And that shows how old I am, because young people today, they don't even know what a newspaper is. They just look at all their news on the phone, right? And they do it well. They go fast. I've watched some of the young people. I don't do it fast on the phone. But I still look at the newspapers. I like to hold it in my hand. And Pope Leo, he has begun to talk about what's important in the church. He's begun to speak out. You know, in the beginning, they're kind of quiet, but all of a sudden, then they'll come out with something. And he came out with an apostolic exhortation called Dilexi Te. Dilexi Te means, I have loved you. Dilexi Te. Did you know about that? How many people here knew about it? A couple of people? Yeah, some people. Dilexi Te, and he pretty much picked up on what Pope Francis was talking about. Dilexi Te, I have loved you, and it was mostly about how we're supposed to think about poor people. And it's quite long, actually, but it's beautifully put together. It's beautifully structured. The newspapers, of course, picked it up because he was asked questions about it by reporters. And the New York Times and the Post, they put long stories in about this. The story begins on the front page of the Washington Post. And of course, they want to have a controversial kind of catch your eye headline. So they write, conservatives worry as they hear echoes of Francis in Leo. So right away, they want to start to set people up, you know. They worry. I don't know who's worrying much, but the beautiful thing about it is he really speaks out well about the history of how, from the very beginning, God had the poor in mind, the poor in mind. But this is what the Washington Post says about it. Leo's new document, an apostolic exhortation defending the poor and marginalized, is based on an unfinished text started by Pope Francis. In it, he quotes Francis, calling on the faithful to welcome, protect, promote, and integrate migrants. Leo takes aim at Christians who embrace secular ideologies or political or economic approaches that lead to gross generalizations and mistaken conclusions. He suggests that they go back and read the gospel. And deploying some of the same charged phrases favored by Francis, he pillories market capitalism, deriding the dictatorship of an economy that kills by enriching a small wealthy elite. Well, most of us believe that capitalism is the best form of government around. Of course, capitalism is never only capitalism. There's socialism involved, of course. You can see that's what they're fighting about now. How social should the government be to take care of people? So you always have social programs within the government. And so here Pope Leo is talking about many of the things that people are fighting about today in the United States. Not only the government officials fighting, but individuals are fighting each other. People are like having bad thoughts about each other over these kinds of things. So I just want to read directly from the document itself. I'll just read a few passages because, of course, it's a long document. So he says that poverty is not just poverty of goods. When we think of poverty, we think of people who don't have, a nice car or a good apartment, or they live in a very poor area and the building is run down and where they live. But it says there are many forms of poverty: the poverty of those who lack material means, the poverty of those who are socially marginalized, and the lack of means to give voice to their dignity and abilities, and also moral and spiritual poverty, cultural poverty, the poverty of those who find themselves in a condition of personal or social weakness or fragility, the poverty of those who have no rights, no space, no freedom. So there's lots of forms of poverty, and that's what he addresses. He also goes on in this long text, Dilexite, about women and the difficulties that women have around the world. And he says that women themselves, who are poor, they have extra things against them, because he says women are looked at often as being less than the men. And he said it's just absolutely not true. He says they have equal dignity in the eyes of God. They should have equal rights in the eyes of God all over the world. And he says that we should never do anything to disparage women. Of course, there should be no abuse toward women in any way, whether physical abuse or verbal abuse. And we know, of course, the different things that come up in the news these days about the trafficking and all the horrible situations that have always arisen around women and abuse. And I'm sure many of us know where maybe women have been abused by their husbands. All of us know cases where women are abused by their husbands. And it's very sad. And then he goes on to talk about how all through Scripture, especially in the New Testament, the poor are favored by God. And so many statements, not only by, for example, St. Paul, but by Jesus himself. Jesus embraced those who were marginalized. He embraces the poor, the sick, those who are outcasts. It is so clear in the gospel. And he looks at the wealthy and those in power as not caring enough about what's going on with the poorest and the sick and the lonely and the displaced. Isn't it true? That's what Jesus' whole ministry is about. Everybody has dignity. Everybody is a child of God. So he starts out with New Testament. He starts out with the Old Testament as well. And he starts out his ministry in the synagogue, and he reads that passage from Isaiah. And in the passage of Isaiah, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And he says, and this day, this is, on this day, right now, while I'm telling you that, he says, this is being fulfilled. So that's how important it was to him. He loved everybody. He loved everybody. Don't get me wrong. He loved his persecutors. But he especially loved the downcast, correct? And then this document goes on and talks about the apostolic fathers and the fathers of the church and everything they wrote about. And it takes us right up to the modern times, where, for example, Mother Cabrini worked with the immigrants. Remember? Mother Cabrini, what a powerhouse, unbelievable. That woman did so much in her lifetime, it's hard to believe. What a saint, Mother Cabrini. There was a great film put out about her recently. All those people coming into New York, right, on those boats, and the kids needed education, the people needed a place to live, they had to enculturate themselves and become part of the United States, right? So that, he talks all about that. He talks about the saints in our modern time who have worked closely with the poor. And then he talks about how we get images of the poor sometimes in the newspapers or on the news, and it impacts us greatly. He says, remember that little boy, 3-year-old, who was washed up on the shore on that immigrant boat, and he was face down on the shore, that 3-year-old boy, and how impactful that was, how it touched everyone's heart. Do you remember that little boy laying there? He said, but now people are getting used to that kind of thing. It doesn't bother them anymore. He says, what happens is people feel like, oh, well, just another kid lying dead, and they move on. He says, we can't do that. We can't do that. You have to remember that these are human beings who are suffering. So let me take you right up to what he says later in the document about the immigrants. It's pretty amazing. Okay, here it is. I'll read it. The experience of migration accompanies the history of the people of God. Abraham sets out without knowing where he's going. Moses leads the pilgrim people through the desert. Mary and Joseph flee with the child Jesus to Egypt, who came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Lived among us as a stranger. For this reason, the church has always recognized migrants as a living presence of the Lord, who on the day of judgment will say to those on his right, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Remember that? That whole thing about the goats and the sheep. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. That's part of that. Okay, millions of Americans came to the United States, and Mother Cabrini and others like her helped to take care of them. So, he says, the church's tradition of working for and with migrants continues, and today this service is expressed in initiatives such as refugee reception centers, border missions, and the efforts of Caritas Internationales and other institutions, okay? Pope Francis has recalled that the church's mission to migrants and refugees is even broader, insisting that our response to the challenges posed by contemporary migration can be summed up in 4 verbs: welcome, protect, promote, integrate. Yet these verbs do not apply only to migrants and refugees. They describe the church's mission to all of those living on the periphery who need to be welcomed, protected, promoted, and integrated. Every human being is a child of God. Those are the words inside of this document. I'm not going to comment on those things because I know that there are great splits right now among people and about how to think about these problems. And I do believe that many of us struggle with problems in our society today. They personally struggle. And it shows every day in stress, how people feel stress. And I do think we continue to pray, though. But when a pope speaks, I believe that it's important, and I think that we should read this apostolic exhortation, read it, and pray over it.